Look, if you're still buying weed from some guy named Trevor in a parking lot, you're doing it wrong. Mood.com delivers legal THC products straight to your door. Gummies, vapes, flower, the good stuff. No sketchy DMs, no med card. Just add to cart, check out, and boom, it's at your doorstep. It's legal in all 50 states thanks to the Farm Bill, and Mood's products actually work. Seriously, this isn't gas station garbage. It's small batch, lab tested, real results. Go to mood.com, use code FIRST20 for 20% off, and never run dry again. That's mood.com. Go get lit, legally.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only 10 bucks every day. Now that's finger-licking good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
Robots Radio. Games. Lore. Stories. Community. Just press play.
Welcome to the Fallout Lorecast, the podcast that explores the boundaries of our knowledge about the world of Fallout.
Welcome back. This week we are getting back to the businesses, the pre-war businesses of Fallout. It's been a few weeks since we've talked about this. Last time we actually, I took some of the different newspapers and we talked about them instead of going alphabetically, but we're now back to going alphabetically through the list, and we're still in the C's. That's how many different businesses and pre-war businesses there are in the Fallout universe. This week we'll be diving into, well, some spicier topics, things like adult entertainment and a robotics company and a liquor company, some things that are going on, and some other mundane things like an apartment complex. But, you know, everything has its own little interests, and, well, as long as there's information about it, and some of these are only mentioned a little bit, and of course others go in much more detail. But I'm not going to take any more time on this intro. Let's get into it. Let's start out with Cambridge Savings and Loan. I know, exciting topic, but here we go. Cambridge Savings and Loan, or Cambridge SNL, is a company that shows up only in Fallout 4 and only in one tiny little reference. The Cambridge Police Evidence Terminal mentions this company in a evidence log. It says this. This is all it says right here. It says case 096-SE Holbrook Sedition Logs. Evidence log entry ARHO-00. Object, 1 times statement of Mr. N. Fredericks, President, S&L. That's the reference right there. Status, transferred to Federal Officer J. Dobson. Evidence log entry ARHO-01. Object, 1 pamphlet, your rights at work, recovered from suspect's desk, Cambridge, S&L. Status, transferred to Federal Officer J. Dobson. So again, very similar reference. All from a suspect who worked at Cambridge SNL. But what was this suspect doing? Well, the next evidence log reveals it. It says ARHO-02, object, 1 times pamphlet, unionize today, spelled UYOU-NIONIZE, unionize today. Recovered from suspect's desk, Cambridge SNL, transferred to the same officer, J. Dobson. This is the only reference of this location. There was somebody at this savings and loan company who was supportive of unionizing, and this became evidence in some case at the police department. And unfortunately, we don't really have any other details about this. Maybe this was illegal at the time. Maybe unionizing was no longer something that you were allowed to do, or maybe it was evidence to or against the morality of this individual in whatever investigation was going on here. But with our understanding of the way things had kind of devolved in this, well, post-capitalist society before the bombs dropped, chances are unionizing was not something that the government was too excited about. In fact, it's heavily implied here that unionizing would have been illegal, that this N. Fredericks, who was the company president, was actually breaking the law by supporting unionizing for this specific office of Cambridge Savings and Loan. So that gives you some insight. A savings and loan company, not particularly interesting usually, and one of those little companies that you would expect would exist in a world like this. But the idea that the president of this company was doing something illegal by supporting unionization for his workers is, well, pretty dark. Now, we all have different opinions about unions and the benefits and drawbacks of that, but I think most people can probably agree that the right to do so should be allowed. Whether you agree to join the union or not is a personal matter and depends on many other variables. But I don't know that I would want to live in a, well, pre-war society like Fallout without at least the right for that to be an option, especially as time moves on and more people get abused by their workplaces. There needs to be pushback. In the history of our own country, you look at the Gilded Age, that was like the 1910s, 1920s, and the amount of abuse that employees took from their employers was ridiculous. And it wasn't, if it wasn't for the fact that unions existed, we wouldn't have ever had a period after that where people had more rights. So sure, nothing is black and white. Everything can be taken to extremes. But I think we can all agree that flat out making unions illegal is not necessarily the kind of world that we would want to live in. And it just shows how dark the world was even before the wasteland existed. All right, coming up next on our list, you know when you are running around in Fallout, well, Fallout 4 and 76, and you see typewriters everywhere. And I know I pick them up because they're very useful for the parts. Have you ever thought about who is the company behind all of these baby blue colored looking typewriters? Well, the company is called Carlisle, C-A-R-L-I-S-L-E. They are the company that makes the typewriters. What do we know about them? Nothing. Absolutely nothing else. We just know that the name shows up on these typewriters, which has me curious. A company in a world where there are computers and robots that can still make a living creating typewriters, not to mention the fact that typewriters were still valuable and used in the workplace, even though you had things like Pip-Boys. And I know Pip-Boys were specific to vaults and all of that, but typewriters, they still existed. Have you ever thought typewriters? But we don't know anything else about Carlisle. Did they make all of their money from typewriters? Were they involved with, I don't know, making keyboards for computers or interfaces for robots or anything else that you would use that would have to do with buttons and pushing things or the mechanism of printing? Did they create printers? No, we don't know. All we know is that they made these little blue typewriters, and that's it. So the next time you pick up one of those typewriters, think of Carlisle. That should be one of their advertisements.
Welcome to Casa Madrid. Cheapest, cleanest whores in all New Vegas. If you want to know the rates for Poon, talk to the whores.
Just across the street from Miguel's pawn shop is a little establishment that will, well, cater to your needs if you don't have the caps to go down to New Vegas proper, to the main strip, when you're looking for, well, your own sort of strip, or at least somebody else to strip for you and do other things. Wow, this went in a weird direction. Well, I mean, I guess you could also stay at Casa Madrid Apartments if you wanted to, you know, rent out an apartment, but it is mostly known for the prostitution. And that is brought to us by Pretty Sarah, by the way. And, you know, the cheaper side of things. So if you're looking for that poon, as the advertisement says, as read by Marco, He's the owner of the apartments and seems to have found his little niche in the market. You know, people who can't afford a more sophisticated option in, well, adult satisfaction, we'll call it that. Well then, this is the place to go when you don't have the caps for New Vegas. But I don't know about you, I'm saving up my money for Gamora because it's just that much classier of an establishment. Wow, I'm not sure what else to say about this one, but there you go. So Casa Madrid Apartments, known for their quality, but yet significantly discounted whores. So while we're on the subject of adults' satisfaction and entertainment, let's talk about Cat's Paw. Now, adult things don't only occur in New Vegas, although they do significantly more than, say, Fallout 3 or Fallout 4. But if we go back to Fallout 1 and 2 and Fallout Tactics, you can find this little magazine with a kitty cat on the front called Cat's Paw. Now, Cat's Paw was the publisher of this adult magazine, and in the cover, and you have to go back to the old games, the graphics are very low quality. You don't see a woman who's scantily clad or anything like that. You simply see a picture of a cat, and you can read Cat's Paw on it. The rest of the text is too small to make out because the fonts are too small because of the size of the images back then. I mean, the whole thing is probably all of, I don't know, 32 by 40 pixels, but it's also implied that there was a photography studio at the Cat's Paw brothel in New Reno. So this wasn't just a publisher of adult magazines. This company also, well, dabbled in some of the things that the apartment complex we just talked about would have also done in at a much later time, because the time period changed between Fallout 1 and 2 to New Vegas. Now, what's interesting is that we don't come across any Cat's Paw magazines in New Vegas. They usually do such a good reference pulling stuff from the original series, especially since New Vegas was designed by many of the same people who worked on Fallout 1 or Fallout 2, but this doesn't show up in Fallout 4, interestingly enough. Now, this is a weird one because it does show up in Fallout 1 initially, and when you examine the item, it says, "You have no idea," meaning like you don't really know what this is. If you examine it even more, it says, "Upon further inspection, you still have no idea what this is." The magazines show back up in Fallout 2 and are actually tied to two different side quests. The most interesting thing about these magazines is that there is a very special edition of the Cat's Paw, which is issue number 5. This is considered to be a collector's edition of this extremely rare issue. On the main one, you have just the picture of the cat, but on Cat's Paw 5, you can see, and again, it's such a small image. All you can see is Cat's Paw 5, and then the face of a person from like the side angle with their mouth open and maybe the top part of their teeth. It comes across in the image because it's all dark in the background. It looks like it's very dimly lit, almost like a vampire face, but I don't think it's meant to be a vampire face, and it's definitely not a cat. It looks more like a woman, and her mouth is open. But that's it. There's nothing else on there to imply what it is, other than the fact that, well, by Fallout 2, you know what this is. This is an adult magazine. And there is a quest line in order to find, well, 10 of these magazines and turn them in to Miss Kitty in New Reno, and that's how you get issue number 5. Now, issue number 5, you might be wondering, what is the benefit of that? Well, it includes in that issue an article about energy weapons, and by reading this article, well, at least reading the magazine, which includes this article, then you get 10% increase in energy weapon abilities. So in a very roundabout way, this is very useful for more than just adult entertainment and plays into the lore and the world setting and characters and quest lines in Fallout 2. So there you go. Cat's Paw. Everyone's favorite adult magazine from New Reno.
Well, the only place I know of locally would be Cerulean Robotics. But that place has been overrun by vermin for years. If you want to check the place out, you can find it on the west side of Freeside. The entrance is on the back side of the building.
So I don't know if you've noticed a little bit of trend in this episode, but there's definitely another adult thing going on here with Cerulean Robotics, and that is the fact that Fisto, the sex bot in New Vegas, is located here. This is an explorable location. You go into Freeside in the North Gate, go past the old Mormon fort, you go under the broken highway toward the city wall and the like their little ruined store, and you will find this location. This is also the location where, funny enough, if you leave and Wild Wasteland is turned on, this is where Mods Muggers, the three old ladies, will show up. That, of course, is a reference to the Hell's Grannies sketch from Monty Python. It's a classic. If you haven't watched it, go look it up. I'm sure it's on YouTube. It's pretty silly. Now, unfortunately, there isn't a whole lot here that gives us any real insight into what this robotics company was like. We know that there are a number of different robotics companies across Fallout, and we don't know what this one did. I mean, there's a Fisto robot, so maybe they worked on Fisto robots. There are four broken Protectrons that can be found there as well, and some other things that you can loot, but other than that, it doesn't really give us a sense beyond this being kind of a generic robotics kind of location. You can find lying congressional style on the floor. You can find some sunset sarsaparilla, some keys and terminal cards and things like that in order to access the different sections there. And this is part of the Wang Dang Atomic Tango quest, which has you going there specifically in order to recruit Fisto, in order to provide for the needs of different clientele. So, yeah, it falls into the trend, which is so crazy because it's just coincidental. These are alphabetically after each other, and yet they all have to do with these adult entertainment topics. I don't know if that means I have to mark this episode M for mature or not. It's not like I dropped an F-bomb, but, I mean, Fallout, for the most part, is an M-rated game anyway, so And who knows? All right, let's move on to the next one.
Look, if you're still buying weed from some guy named Trevor in a parking lot, you're doing it wrong. Mood.com delivers legal THC products straight to your door. Gummies, vapes, flower, the good stuff. No sketchy DMs, no med card. Just add to cart, check out, and boom, it's at your doorstep. It's legal in all 50 states, thanks to the Farm Bill, and Mood's products actually work. Seriously, this isn't gas station garbage. It's small batch, lab-tested, real results. Go to Mood.com, use code FIRST20 for 20% off, and never run dry again. That's Mood.com. Go get lit, legally.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting six crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus four biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only 10 bucks every day. Now that's finger-licking good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
So let's talk about Chase R&D, and there is another real-world correlation here. I think a lot of people know about how during World War II, the Nazis were issued amphetamines so that the military, the soldiers in the army, could fight longer and harder because they were all doped up on drugs. Well, something very similar happens in Fallout. Chase R&D shows up first in Fallout 3's Operation Anchorage expansion, and then also is referenced in Fallout 4, and they are known for the creation of Psycho. Described as Angry Juice, or the Big Red One, this is a military-grade performance-enhancing drug that was used by the military. How do we know? Because Chase R&D was owned and run by General Constantine Chase. He was a high-ranking general in the United States Army. So he's running this company that is designing and producing a drug that will make people more aggressive and more effective as soldiers, and then selling it to the military, who he works for, in order to up the ability of his soldiers. Seems like he's making money hand over fist. He's making money from the company that's making the drugs, but then also improving, and I'm putting this in quotes because who knows how long those drugs actually have a beneficial effect before they start to become very detrimental to the soldiers, but improving the effects of his own military force. Now, what makes this even more sketchy is that the drug Psycho was in clinical trials to make sure that this was something that wouldn't have too many adverse effects. Any drug that gets used by the public has to go through clinical trials in order to make sure that it's safe. And if it's not safe, what situations does it still have benefits for if there's extreme situations and things like that? Well, the clinical trials weren't even complete. And he issued and okayed the use of this drug on his own soldiers. Now, we don't know a whole lot about the operations of Chase R&D, if they had many different locations or anything like that, but we do know that when they show up in Fallout 4, it's because they are connected to a criminal who simply goes by the name Joe Doe before the Great War, who was charged with trafficking drugs. This case includes 120 units of, and it just in Fallout 4 says, an injectable drug. So it doesn't specifically say Psycho, but it's highly implying that it's Psycho. And it's stamped with a seal that says property of Chase R&D. As far as we know, Psycho was the drug that Chase R&D was making. And this information, get this, comes from a Coast Guard pier terminal. The Coast Guard, like the Army, is a branch of the U.S. military. So this implies that before the Great War, the Army wasn't the only people or the only group using Psycho, that this had actually permeated to a completely different branch of government and was still not wholly legal, but was probably being used by soldiers more than anybody knew. Now, there's something about this to me that feels nefarious in a, I don't know, a different kind of way than the idea that they were trying to make super soldiers. In the context of trying to make a super soldier, they initially were taking, well, people that they had captured in war from the Chinese and then criminals and these other groups. And yeah, that's not great. That's not good. But it's another thing to be taking your own military service people and then issuing them a drug that hasn't even been approved in order to just make them operate better in the field. Both are sketchy, absolutely. And yeah, you're turning people against their will, the Chinese soldiers and the prisoners, into super mutants and not actual super soldiers due to the testing of trying to make that work. But in the context of this, these are service personnel. These are the very people in your army, in your military, who are being used as guinea pigs. And yeah, both of these things are terrible. Don't get me wrong. Testing on human beings, period, is terrible. Without their express consent or knowledge about it, absolutely. Turning people into super mutants, that's absolutely terrible, yes. But at the same time, it feels like it's even worse to do this to your own service members, men and women who signed up to the military in order to protect their country with the belief that the military would help take care of them too. This is analogous to turning away veterans for their hospital needs or trying out different kinds of solutions for them after they've left the service due to all their specific needs, PTSD, physical injuries, any of those kinds of things, without their knowledge of what is actually being done to them. That's terrifying, right? This is horrifying. And so when you come across Psycho in the games, think about Chase R&D and the fact that this was being run by somebody in the military who was responsible for the safety and the well-being of all of those people underneath them. It compounds into, like, there's multiple levels here, and all of it is absolutely terrifying. Now, we don't know, like I said before, any more about Chase R&D, how many different locations they had, what other kinds of drugs they may have been producing, or even other kinds of products. We don't know anything about that, but we do know that this is the origin of Psycho, and that office location is in the Capital Wasteland in Fallout 3. In a response to the food riots before the Great War, the White House issued a statement. This comes from Warren Eccleston, who says, "The president himself has been forced to substitute cube steak for his nightly prime rib, and the only wine available is a detestable Chateau Montrose 2043. But does he whine? Does he take to the streets like a rabid red?" This is clearly missing the point. People are starving, and yet he has to eat steak and drink wine. I'm sure that they're crying tears over the president being inconvenienced while still being able to eat and enjoy a wine, even if it's a detestable Chateau Montrose. Now, Chateau Montrose is the next topic here because it starts with a C, and this is actually a real product. There is a Chateau Montrose in the real world with the same name, and so I don't know if this was originally meant to be a reference to that real world company. Maybe not. Maybe they just came up with a name because they thought it sounded good and it was coincidence. And this is the only reference to Chateau Montrose. So it doesn't come up in any of the other games, just Fallout 3, and just in this one location. So outside of that, we don't know much else about them, or if it was actually detestable, or if that was one of those opinions that the elite had about so many things that the most people would be like, nah, it's actually pretty good. So we don't really know much more about that. But here, let's move on to another adult beverage. So many adult things in this episode. All right, our final one for this week, Cherry Liquor. This is a liquor store. It's not a company that makes liquor. It's a place where you go to buy a variety of different drinks. Who knows? Maybe you can find the Chateau Montrose there, along with some other things. This is in New Vegas. There are two different locations, and you will know them by their fancy lit up signs where it says Cherry Liquor. Cherry's in kind of like a long stretched out oval kind of shape, and then liquor is underneath it real big, and then there's this like red, almost like a check mark. It's got that, I don't know, that 1950s kind of style Vegas lit up sign kind of thing going on with it. And these are just two different locations. Both are in Freeside. There's one over by the main road that kind of leads to the strip. And then there's another one by the Atomic Wrangler Casino. And like so many locations, these are boarded up and they're just kind of these kind of rundown looking buildings. But you can still tell what they originally were because the sign is still there. Although not in the best condition anymore. So do we know what they sold? Well, yes, we do, because the bottom of the sign says beer, wine, pops. So they may very well have carried Chateau Montrose, but they probably also carried, you know, some beer and some Sunset Sarsaparilla and some Nuka-Cola or whatever else you wanted to drink while on your way to the strip, or just, you know, hanging out in the cheaper locations because you can't afford that, well, classy adult entertainment that you wanted that I talked about earlier in this episode. But outside of that, nothing else. In fact, the cherry is in a script, but you would expect that it would be red or something like that. There is no other design. It's not like there's a cherry at the top or a drink kind of shape like a martini glass with something in it. None of that. Just a very simple sign, green and red with like a red check mark looking thing. And that's it. Cherry Liquor. So swing by on your way to the casinos, pick up a nice refreshing beverage, and enjoy yourself. Because as we've discussed in this episode, there's something in New Vegas for all of your needs. All right, I hope you enjoyed that episode. Lots of fun stuff and still so many other businesses to get to. Also, welcome to Brandon Mops. It's all one word. I hope I pronounced that correctly. Our newest patron, patreon.com/falloutlorecast for ad-free episodes. And you get all sorts of cool stuff like stickers and t-shirts, or join us for our patron chats. And a big shout out to our current Sentry Bot, Germinator. There's plenty of room for more Sentry Bots. So if you'd like to get a shout out every week, join us over there on the Patreon and sign up as a Sentry Bot. Also, we've got these two new reviews to read out. If you leave us a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts, I'll read these out on a future episode. This one comes from that a-hole in AR who writes 5-star review with words. That's right. Leave a 5-star review with words. Tom is one of only a handful of podcasts I've ever listened to, and it's certainly the best. Tom O'Robots is passionate and very knowledgeable about all things Fallout. I was hooked from episode 1 when I started listening a few months ago, and now I'm all cut up. The beauty of 1.25 speed. Yeah, I do the same thing, and I get it. Sometimes my delivery is slow intentionally, but if you want to speed it up, feel free to do so. This is the only podcast you didn't know you needed in your life. I was searching for a different video game podcast when the word Fallout caught my eye. Up to that point, I had played Fallout 3 and some of New Vegas, and I had since bought an Xbox One and Fallout 4. And between this podcast and Fallout 4, my interest in the series has been fully renewed. Well, thank you so much for that review. Also, this one comes from AC Fresh, who writes, "New listener, I stumbled upon this podcast while looking for another and got hooked right away. I was currently playing Resident Evil because of the Resident Evil lorecast, but jumped on Fallout 3 now. I love the story behind the first and second, but don't like the gameplay. This podcast gives details others miss and keeps it short and sweet. Episode 30 right now, but I'll catch up soon. Happy trails." Well, so glad that both of you found me from other shows or just looking for other stuff, and you gave it a shot and you decided to stick around and you took the time to leave a review. Thank you so much for that. It is incredibly valuable to do that. It really does help out the show, and also sharing with your friends and all the other stuff that I always say. So thanks for being here this week, everybody. I hope you're enjoying these businesses as much as I am, and I'm excited for future episodes, so I'll see you next week. And until then, stay safe out there. And, you know, if you need a budget option for adult entertainment, well, you just got a whole bunch of them. See you next time. To plug into everything else we're doing, check out robotsradio.net. Reach out to me on Twitter at robots_radio. Check out the Robots Radio Rocket Club, where you can join me and a bunch of our other creators creating your podcast, starting a new podcast, or helping your current podcast grow. There's more information about that on robotsradio.net as well. And you can always talk with us and the entire community, over 2,000 people, on the Robots Radio Discord. Come join us. We'd love to chat with you. See you guys next time.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-lickin' good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.